Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering the SMU Certificate Program, where you can take courses in art, architecture, history, literature, and more. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
I know you have a secret. In fact, I know you have lots of them. This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, and I have secrets too. For years, I was terrified that my peers would learn that I failed my driving test the first time I took it. I turned left when I was told to turn right, couldn't parallel park. Finally, when I was in my 30s, I realized it had never really been a big deal. In fact, it was kind of funny, and it felt liberating to tell the story. The fact is, we all have secrets, and while some are pretty innocuous, others are serious enough to weigh heavily on our souls. Big or small, our secrets are part of what makes us human, and that makes them a fascinating thing to explore. Frank Warren is founder of the website PostSecret.com, which started as an art project in 2004 when he gave out self-addressed postcards and asked strangers to write down their secrets. Since then, he has received well over a million postcards that reveal the vast range of things that people keep to themselves. Frank Warren's most recent book is The World of Post Secret. He's in town to host a Post Secret live event tonight at Bass Hall in Fort Worth. Frank, welcome to Think.
It's great to be here.
Why do we need secrets?
Oh, I think secrets make us who we are, and I think they have transformative power if we keep them tightly inside of us or if we find the strength to let them go to the people closest to us.
The weirdest thing is that you can think to yourself, I don't have any secrets, and then you think again and you realize you have tons of them.
I think that's right. I used to pass out postcards on the streets of Washington, D.C., inviting strangers to write down a secret and mail it to my home. And I got all kinds of reactions from people, as you can imagine. Some people said, sure, give me a few or let me help. But there were other people who'd say, I don't have any secrets. And I almost forced postcards on them because I believe they have the best ones.
Yeah. The other category that always fascinates me are those secrets that are really a big deal to the person who holds them. I think it was this week, there's something on there that says, nobody knows I have false teeth. Most people would probably still love this person if they knew, but they cannot bear the thought that people would find that out.
It's funny how that works. Sometimes it's not the secret itself, but the struggle we go through to suppress it that really becomes that burden that we have to carry. And with Post Secret, what often happens is you go through these heartful, painful, funny, sexual secrets, and you see some and you think to yourself, well, that's not much of a big deal. And then you turn it around and think, well, maybe the secret that I'm holding inside that I think is so grand and powerful really will just disappear too if I find the strength to share it with someone I trust.
Do you think the world would be a better place without any secrets?
I think it would be healthy if all of us shared more of our secrets, but I don't think it would be a better place if we all shared all of our secrets all the time.
Yeah, you even think about, you know, the sort of social lies that people tell just to smooth your path through the day. People don't necessarily want to hear everything that's on your mind.
Yeah, secrets can have lots of profiles. They can be a hidden act of kindness, or they can be something cruelly told to hurt somebody.
I'm really surprised. When I look at the site, it interests me because there are some that I'm really moved to compassion for people who are clearly in so much pain and they don't feel like there's anyone in their lives that they can share this with. Other people are brutally and almost admirably honest, but I find myself feeling really judgy because sometimes they admit to doing things that I think are just wrong. And I struggle with that inability to empathize with everyone. Some of them, I think I wouldn't want to know this person.
Well, I ask people to share their secrets on a postcard, 6 inches by 4 inches. And that's very a finite piece of real estate or space to express a full story on. So you really have to choose your words carefully to share your story. And I think in doing that, it allows you to be a little bit vague, a little bit open. And so as a reader coming to that, then I think you project some of your own feelings or experiences into that secret in a way that invites you into that stranger's life. So it can touch you in a different way. And depending on the tone of the secret, you can feel compassion or empathy or judgment. It's just like almost any piece of art.
Speaking of art, some of these really do reach the level of art. They're very creative. They're clearly not all done by people who do art for a living. Does that influence your selection of what to post, how they look visually?
almost all the secrets, as you say, have some artwork, a photograph or a collage to further convey the emotion behind it. And in fact, there is an exhibit that just opened up at the Smithsonian last week with hundreds of thousands of these postcards on exhibit. And I love how it honors people's art and people who don't think of themselves as artists, their work is now on display at a national museum. So that is a very exciting part of the project for me. But there are some postcards when I see the artwork, I can imagine that the person might have felt restrictive in how much they wanted to share with text or words. But through the art, maybe they can express the most heartful part of that secret in a way that someone else can read it.
You have brought a selection of postcards, and they're sort of spread out around you. Do you want to pick a couple up if people aren't quite sure what we're talking about here?
Sure.
Give us an example.
This is a postcard that has a picture of King Babar on the front, and he's reading a King Babar book, kind of a meta secret. It reads, "When I was a child, I was constantly terrified that my entire life was just a story being read by King Babar to his children, and that someday he would close the book and my life would end."
Wow.
And then another one kind of on the other end of the spectrum. This one says, "When my husband cheated on me, my best friend told me if I was meeting all his needs, he wouldn't be cheating on me. After my divorce, I had sex with her husband."
Wow. So I have to laugh at the cheek of that, and yet I feel judgmental.
There is two sides to every story for sure. And I think when you read some of these secrets, they can be heavy. They can lift you. But I also think that your own experiences play a role in how you see them. I hear from people who talk about how some of the heavier secrets bring them down or depress them. In my own life, I had quite a bit of loss and some suffering growing up. So when I see a heavy secret, for me, I feel this sense of solidarity and connection and the idea of, oh, none of us are alone with these experiences that we had. And so I like how this project kind of comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable a little bit.
You've heard from so many people who have said, "I intended to end my life." I wonder, when you get that postcard, you're not sure that it didn't happen after they dropped it in the mail. You don't know. And knowing that someone is or has been so close to self-harm has to be difficult for you as you're just sort of going through this volume of mail.
This is National Suicide Prevention Month, and there's a secret on the website at postsecret.com today that talks about someone's experience who was contemplating suicide, and it was only a serendipitous note from a friend at the right time saying the right thing that saved her life. And I feel like there are so many of those connections being made every day, so many of us saying just the right thing at just the right time and maybe making that difference. With Post Secret, I get to see this peek into our hidden lives, and I can recognize that in some ways suicide is America's secret. It's a secret we keep from ourselves. On college campuses this year, over 1,000 students will take their own lives. And the Surgeon General has said that suicide is the most preventable form of death in this country. We know what we can do to help. We know it works. Before I was working on Post Secret, I was a suicide prevention hotline volunteer. Listening to people's secrets at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. at that crucible in their life. And I learned that in many cases, it wasn't my job to refer them to the best therapy or solve their problem. They just wanted to know that someone was there to listen. Someone would care and let them get it out. And I think in some ways, I see Post Secret doing that today, being a safe, non-judgmental place where people can take that first step, where they can kind of whisper their secret to that stranger on the train and hopefully find that second step and third step and fourth step in a way to reconcile with that secret that's right for them.
Suicidal thinking is something that a lot of people keep secret when they're experiencing it. Suicides are also kept secret in the histories of a lot of families. It's something people don't talk about.
I got a secret 2 weeks ago. It's funny. I've seen so many, a million secrets. Just in my everyday life, I'm reminded of secrets all the time. With that story that you shared with me, somebody mailed me a postcard and said, "When I read an obituary in the newspaper and it doesn't say how somebody died, I assume it was a suicide."
Hmm.
And I think in our culture, that's changing year by year. We're more open about talking about painful ways that people have taken their own life. But in so many other ways, we are closing our eyes to it. And we're not taking positive action that we know could be helpful for people who are suffering. whether it's in the military, whether it's on campuses. And so through Post Secret, even though I don't think there's a direct connection between secrets and suicide, I do think it's this safe place where people can get it out for the first time. And I'll tell you a secret from my own life. Before Post Secret, I was struggling with depression. I had severe insomnia. I thought about taking my own life. And I went and talked to a psychiatrist after months of keeping it hidden inside. I felt such a sense of relief just to get it out. Even my wife didn't know what I was going through. I was prescribed some medication that helped me get back on track with my sleep pattern. And thankfully, Post Secret is another project that's brought me meaning and purpose and gratification. But there was a point in my life where I had to ask for help. I felt alone. And so when I get these secrets and postcards from strangers expressing that same burden of suffering and loneliness, I can certainly relate. And so I can certainly tell them that they're not alone. There are solutions. There is hope and there is help. And I'm happy to say that over the 10-year history of Post Secret, the Post Secret community has raised over $1 million for suicide prevention. And volunteers have created the most complete and comprehensive database of suicide prevention resources in the world.
When you walk around in the world and you have an everyday encounter, you're buying a coffee or you're, you know, picking up your dry cleaning, can you keep yourself from wondering what the secrets are of the person behind the counter? I think most of us maybe think about it, but not very often.
I do feel like that Mel Gibson character sometimes in What Women Want, where he walks through life and hears voices and private conversations. I was getting on the elevator today at my hotel, and I was reminded of this secret that I like. It said, whenever I get on an elevator and somebody else is on it and pushes a button to a floor higher than mine, I feel inferior to them.
How do you decide, because part of your role as curator of these is putting in a mix. There are some that are very heavy. There are some that are funny. There are some that are a little bit mean. There are some that are quirky. Do you have a formula in your head for what makes a good presentation when you pull the ones you have each Sunday?
I think of myself as a storyteller, and I'm trying to pull different scenes from people's lives and knit them or edit them together to tell this longer narrative about us. And so at postsecret.com, every Sunday, I'm selecting and arranging secrets that surprise people and take people on this journey. You might see the first secret connected back to the last secret. You might see a kind of call and response, or there might be a literary technique of a setup and a punch. So I'm always thinking about how the website is this conversation among us rather than these individual voices.
This comes to your house, right? Not to a post office box somewhere.
Yeah.
What is the volume of mail like in any given day? Like the physical volume?
Yeah, it can be anywhere from dozens to hundreds of postcards.
Wow.
I've received over 1 million from all over the world. They keep coming. And it's not just postcards. Sometimes people write their secrets on objects and mail them through the mail. I've received secrets mailed and written on seashells, a dollar bill, naked Polaroid pictures, an X-ray, a license plate, a bra, a flip-flop, an uncooked Idaho potato. It's legal in this country to put an address and stamps on a potato for some reason and mail it to someone, and one came to me.
There goes my Christmas list. I'm all ready to go. It's a funny question. Do you wear gloves when you open your mail?
I don't.
You're trusting for now.
Yeah.
All right, we're speaking with Frank Warren, founder of PostSecret.com. His most recent book is The World of Post Secret, and he's in town for a Post Secret live event tonight at 7:30 at Bass Hall in Fort Worth. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a question, share a secret, you can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, a customizable evening master's degree for working professionals. More at smu.edu/MLS.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with the founder of Post Secret, Frank Warren. His most recent book is called The World of Post Secret. The website is postsecret.com. There's a Post Secret live event tonight at 7:30 at Bass Hall in Fort Worth. You can join our conversation at 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. So, Frank, you've handed me a couple of postcards here. One says, I unfriend people, and there's a little Facebook F in the graphic. I unfriend people on their birthdays.
Yes.
Another one is a picture of a foot in a field of grass, and it says, every time I get my toenails done, I want to kick the girl doing them in the face. Wow. Here's one that says, I love going home for the holidays because my high school sweetheart is always willing to try and give me the baby I so desperately want. Wow.
That one came from Texas, and some of them are romantic. I've got one in my hand here that says, I didn't enlist to escape you. I enlisted to pay for our wedding. Will you marry me?
Oh. How often do you hear from people who say, wait a second, is that my girlfriend? Is that my brother-in-law? Is that my dad?
I think that's a natural reaction. You read the secrets on the website and you think, oh, that could be my brother, my friend, or that could be me, articulated better than I could even think of it myself. It's funny, though, I get emails from people who will tell me, they'll say, please tell me what the postmark is on this postcard, because even though I don't remember writing it, I feel like I must have been drunk and sent you the secret because it's mine. And
wow.
I never revealed that information. It's all anonymous. But I think there is this desire of connection when you see these authentic stories.
Secrets and lies are not the same thing, but they're related. You have no way of knowing. You don't try to track down the veracity of the things that you post. If you had to take a stab at it, what percentage of secrets sent to you do you think are not true?
Well, I think it's a lot of trouble to mail in an untrue secret. You kind of have to come up with the words, get the postcards, know how much postage to put on it, mail it at the post office. I think that limits that. But I don't think of the secrets as really being true or false. I think of them more like, you know, like you walk into a bookstore and there's a fiction section and a nonfiction, and you might pull out that fictional book that could change your life. And when you're talking about self-revelatory secrets or stories, I think people are in different parts of that process. I've received follow-up emails from people before who've said things like, when I mailed you my secret, I thought it was false, but it never really was. Or now that I've shared my secret with you, it's no longer true.
Hmm.
One guy said, when I mailed you my secret, part of it got torn off in the mail, and it had a different meaning. And when you posted it on the website and I read that different meaning, even though I had made it up initially, it was actually true in my life.
Wow.
So there's something about that intersection of art and self-revelation that in some ways I think could be even more powerful. If you hand somebody a postcard and you say, make up a secret and write it on that postcard, it's anonymous, no one's going to see it. You know, sometimes when you come up with that secret, it has to come from somewhere. And so if you're invited to anonymously make up a secret, in a strange way, that could be an invitation to share a secret that you're just struggling to reconcile at that moment.
I was thinking that novelists and screenwriters might love your site for inspiration.
Yeah, I know some English professors who use them for writing prompts and in that way. There is something that's, you know, just it invites people's secrets into stories and into culture. I think if you look at, you know, some of the best novelists or comedians in the world, what they're doing is honestly telling some of our deepest secrets that we can relate to. And they're the courageous ones to do it first.
So, Frank, the thing that I respect about what you do is that there's a purity to it, right? This is all voluntary. People are, you know, you would never, if somebody did send you a secret with identifiable information, you would not post it. We also have in our culture right now a real desire to tell the secrets of people. You know, there's the Ashley Madison hack and the revelation of the people who were on that site. And regardless of what you think about it, it's not really the business of whoever did this hack. They're not involved in any of these relationships affected by that sort of thing. And I wonder what you do with those kinds of secrets and the way that internet culture and the anonymity of it has both amplified secrets and also made them harder to keep.
Yeah. We're doing a lot more sharing in social media for sure. And it's a different kind of sharing. It's maybe it's not so much revealing who we are as projecting how we want others to see us. And it does raise questions about what's a secret, what's revelation, what's promotion. One time I got a postcard from a woman who said, I worked all my life to get into Harvard, and now that I'm here, I hate it. I posted that on the site, and a couple days later, she emailed me and said, hey, please take that down. My friends and family recognize my handwriting. I'm in all kinds of hot water. So I emailed her back. I said, sure, I'll take it down, but please keep in mind that maybe sharing this secret is a first step in a healthy decision. Even though it's putting all this pressure on your life in the short term, maybe in the long run, it will allow you to consider some other options about changing schools or finding a fit, better fit on campus that you'll like. So oftentimes, I think a real secret, when we find the courage to share, it can make us uncomfortable, but that discomfort can lead to some very healthy life changes in the long run.
Do you have people in your personal life? I know a few, and I find them very refreshing, but they don't seem to keep any secrets. Everything about them is on the table. You know, just little tiny things that would seem embarrassing to a lot of the rest of us. Do you know people like that?
There is something refreshing about that for sure. And I think for me, it's because I'm just the exact opposite.
Yeah, me too.
I'm always feeling those judging eyes and trying to conceal more than reveal. But I think it is refreshing, and I think that it's a good balance. And I hope that PostSecret allows that kind of culture to spread and invites more people to share secrets, not just with strangers, but with their friends.
800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also contact the show via email to think@kera.org, or you can find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. So you've got a million plus postcards. What do you do with them? How do you catalog them? Like, okay, these are all sexual secrets, and these are secrets about money, and these are secrets about relationships.
Well, the first thing I do is I read them all for sure, and I keep them all. I think it's a very special archive. But I'm just one person, so the organization has a lot that's lacking. I have different storage methods and an antique apothecary cabinet that I use for sorting certain kinds of secrets. But really, the vast majority of them right now are in a huge pyramid at the Smithsonian National Postal Museum. People can see the quantity of secrets I've received, and they're also on exhibit on the walls and in freestanding units, so you can read the front and the back of the card. And the TED Talk I gave is on display there, too. So I like how that honors the project, and it's come out of my basement and now has this space where I can share it back with everyone else.
Do you think this project would have taken off if in the very beginning it had been something digital rather than based on physical artifacts?
I think there's something special about that marriage of bringing together the digital with the analog, you know, one of our oldest forms of communication, the postcard with social media. And in my own life, I've felt this special relationship with postcards. I think they have a lot of power. PostSecret was the third postcard art project I worked on, and growing up, I had this special feeling about postcards. So I'm thrilled that I found this way to not just honor the postcard, the messages that they can carry, but also people's connections and their stories.
You've had 700 million plus visitors to PostSecret.com. Have you ever regretted your decision to make this not a commercially supported website?
There are a few decisions I might make a little bit differently before, but I think not having paid for ads on the website is one way I was able to develop that real trust that strangers put in me to know that they could trust me with their deepest secrets, treating secrets with respect and dignity in a non-judgmental way, in a non-commercial way. I think all went into that special formula, whatever it was, that allowed me to receive these special stories from strangers from around the world for over 10 years. And I feel very honored to have earned that trust, and I wouldn't want to do anything to lose it.
Do you have a sense, are there people that have written to you many times?
Yes, there are some serial sharers, but I think we all have multiple secrets, yeah. And so I'm happy to accept them all.
Do you know anything about the demographics of the people who use the site?
I think it's reflective of who's online digitally. So younger people, probably more women than men. A lot of college students are involved in the project. I think that's, you know, it's also connected to where you are in life. When you're in college, you're kind of wanting to know what's true and what's inauthentic. You're trying to redefine who you are and what your identity is. And so questions are arising about the secrets you're keeping, who you are and who you can tell. So I think it speaks to that generation.
There's so much art, and I'm not an expert, but there's so much art that is not truly interactive. It's you know, what the artist has produced, and then the audience is able to view it or see it or hear it, but that's sort of the end of the relationship. This one is a lot more dependent on both the people who are sending stuff in and also the people who are on the site to really gain any meaning.
Yeah, I see that especially at post-secret live events where I'm sharing secrets that have been banned from the books and secrets that have transformed lives, talking about my own secrets. But in the second half, I invite audience members to stand at a microphone and share their secrets live, sometimes in front of 1,000 people. And that's happening tonight at Bass Hall and then on Thursday in Austin at the Long Center. And the secrets that you hear from audience members can be shocking, but can also bring you together in surprising ways. It can be very emotional. I was speaking in London a while back, and the first person who came to the microphone, she said, "I'm a 60-year-old college professor here on campus, and every lecture I've delivered this semester, I've been stoned." And then another time, a young man at the mic, he said, another school-related secret, "When I was in third grade, I really wanted to get out of going to school one day. So I made up this story about how I had this stomach ache, and my mom didn't believe me, so I really sold it." And he said, "I convinced her so much so that she ended up driving me to the hospital." And he said, "During that drive, I realized I was so committed to this story, there was no turning back." He said, "Later that day, I had my appendix removed."
Goodness. I hear about that, and I think it would be a fascinating thing to see. I could never do that. And I don't think I have any secrets that are interesting to anyone except me. Nothing deep and dark, but things that, you know, you just don't reveal. Do you see people as they're like, do they wait in line behind the microphone and get 12 deep or whatever? Can you sort of tell four people out who's going to get out of line before they come?
No, not at all. You look at people's faces and you have no idea the stories they hold. I think that's one of the fascinating parts of the project and how it really encourages empathy and understanding and compassion. When you see that person courageously standing at a microphone, their voice shaking, talking about a childhood experience, a lost love, a desire to get over a social anxiety, and then to see the reaction of the audience as the person walks back to their seat from the mic, just applauding, and maybe like a random person standing up and giving them a hug. It's something that I think is missing from this culture, but there's something burning for that real world connection.
What do you think of the internet comment culture and the Twitter sphere and the blogosphere and the fact that a lot of people who they're not revealing secrets, but they're criticizing people they've never met before?
I think the internet is still in its infancy, and we're working through it, not just in terms of the technology, but also in terms of how we're socially adapting to it. It's a real pressure point right now with that, especially with young people. 15 years ago, it's a long time ago, I lost a friend to suicide. And speaking to his parents about one of the reasons that drove him, it was through internet bullying. It wasn't called that at the time. But some people, I think, are inequipped to deal with the deluge of powerful negativity that can be directed specifically at them at a time of struggle when they feel alone. We're talking about it more. I'm glad, but I think we have a lot more to do in terms of recognizing the real damage that can do. In addition, there are other ways that the internet is opening up powerful ways that, for example, sexual predators can reach out and connect with young people in ways that have never been possible before that the larger culture is blind to right now.
Is there anything so disturbing that you wouldn't post because you do not want to glorify or normalize something that someone's confessing to?
Oh, what a good question. These are all good questions. I don't think of myself as a censor or moderating the secret. So, for example, the postcard that came in that had the picture of the Twin Towers in New York, and the secret said, "Everyone who knew me before 9/11 believes I'm dead." It's a powerful secret in the story that I would not hold back. But there are a few that, for different reasons, I do keep private. One postcard came with a family photograph of five people on the card. And the secret said, "My brother doesn't realize it, but his father's not the same as our father."
Hmm.
And you could look at her siblings in the picture and recognize the brother she was talking about. And I didn't doubt the veracity of that secret, but I felt like it wasn't right for me to out him in such a public way. And so I'll tell you that secret, but I'll probably never share that picture.
Yeah. There's also this question of who owns certain secrets, and some of them are shared, but they affect more than one person.
What a good question, especially secrets that have to do with abuse or relationships of power. It's very difficult to know who owns some secrets, especially if you're tied up in this knot of family relationships. How can you tell a certain secret about a parent, about a sibling, about abuse? I see how secrets tie people up into knots. I'll give you an example of one secret I've seen more than once, and you can imagine the burden this would put on somebody. A secret from a young person saying, "My uncle abused me when I was younger, but I liked it because nobody else paid attention to me, and now I don't know how to feel about him." Struggling with a secret like that and those conflicting feelings is a powerful thing, especially if you're by yourself. That kind of experience happens to more people than you would realize, that kind of conflict of feeling. And who could you tell that to? It's a difficult secret to get out. Hopefully, once it's shared with me on a postcard, the person feels more comfortable talking about it with a counselor or a friend or somebody else who might have a similar experience. But they should know they're not alone.
And I guess often people probably have kind of a fantasy in their mind of when they finally share a secret with someone, that can go beautifully or that can go horribly awry.
That's life, isn't
yeah.
it? That kind of intimacy. I feel that secrets are the currency of intimacy. And parents will sometimes say, you know, how can I get my son or daughter to open up with me as you get postcards from strangers? What's the secret to that kind of connection? Do I steal their diary and look through it page by page? And I say, no, the best thing you can do is tell your son or daughter one of your true secrets first, and that opens up that nice relationship where they can return.
Frank Warren is here. He's founder of PostSecret.com and author most recently of the book The World of PostSecret. There's an event tonight at 7:30 at Bass Hall in Fort Worth. It's PostSecret Live. If you'd like to be part of our conversation, you can call 800-933-5372 or you can email think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, specializing in communications or organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with PostSecret.com founder Frank Warren. He's got a live event tonight at Bass Hall in Fort Worth. It's called PostSecret Live. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. Has your curatorial aesthetic evolved over time working on this? Are there things that you're so tired of seeing? They're so banal. That you wouldn't even consider posting them.
I try not to be judgmental that way, but I do try and look for new secrets, fresh secrets, or approaches to old stories that I can share for the first time every Sunday.
All right, let's go to the phone at 800-933-5372. We have Mary on the line in Dallas. Hello, Mary.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Frank, you talked a lot about suicide and you were in suicide prevention and all. My brother committed suicide, and I don't share that a lot, but when I do, I tend to get a lot of people saying what a selfish person he was to do that. Hmm. It's always bothered me. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's not uncommon that when you raise the topic of suicide and self-harm, other people tell their stories because almost everyone's affected by it one way or another. And you can hear from this story how people Mary's sharing with maybe are struggling with that issue in their own life in a personal way. I think that when you hear a story about suicide, it makes you very uncomfortable for obvious reasons, and you can have different reactions to it. You can respond with empathy, with care, with understanding, or you can take a different approach that allows you to feel a little bit differently. It maybe isolates you from it a bit, creates a barrier. And so maybe in some ways, Mary, those people are protecting themselves with intent rather than trying to hurt you or say something negative about your brother.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. We have, Aravinda on the line next in Plano. Hi, Aravinda.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to share an experience I had many years ago, actually. There was a secret I was sort of carrying around, something that I had felt, you know, very guilty and ashamed of, and I had tried talking to a therapist. I'm not Catholic, but I went to a church to confess, and I got support, advice, reassurance, and so forth, but I just never felt rid of this burden. And one day, an unusual thing happened. I got a phone call from a researcher in a university who started by saying that this is a computer-generated call, so I have no way of knowing who you are, and would you be willing to participate in an anonymous survey for a research project? And I said yes, and then I didn't know, you know, but in the course of this conversation, I ended up, you know, sharing this secret that I had felt guilty about and everything. And at the end of the phone call, I put the phone down, and I just felt it's gone. Hmm. I just had an incredible sense of freedom and release from that, which I never got from talking to an actual person.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
That is a wonderful story, and it demonstrates the idea that we can release these burdens in surprising ways. And sometimes, again, it's not the secret itself, but it's our effort to conceal it and hide it from others that becomes that burden. And I've heard from people who have mailed me postcards afterwards saying that that process of taking ownership of the words to express a secret on the card and then physically letting it go gave them a sense of relief. But there's many other ways to share secrets, too. And I remember an email from a young woman. She said, I wrote down all my secrets on postcards, Frank, because I wanted to share them with you. But instead, I slipped them under the pillow of my boyfriend while he was sleeping in our house, and then I went off to work. And she said, later that day, my boyfriend called me out of the blue and asked me to marry him. So they can really have transformative magical powers for sure.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I'm glad you didn't say, you know, he said, we're through. <You know? laughs> All right, let's go to email here. We have a question about people wanting to come out to you as the sender of a secret. Have people ever met you at an event or something and said, I'm the one who sent you that secret,
yes,
you know, about X?
Yes. In fact, I got an email today from a girl who sent me 3 or 4 secrets when she was 18, and she said she was hurt when she didn't see them on the web or show up in books, because they were about these personal struggles she was going through. She said she got through the struggles and came to see me at a post-secret event, and she was sitting in the front row, and I gave her this gift, and on it, I wrote a message for her, a private message that encouraged her, and she told me all this story, this whole story. And then she said last week she was in Washington, D.C., and she happened to go by the Smithsonian Museum, and she saw the post-secret art exhibit, and her boyfriend was with her, and she was reading this one particular postcard. It really had an impact. And then she recognized the handwriting and realized it was one of the postcards she had mailed me 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Wow.
And she had this open conversation with her boyfriend about the secret. It really came full circle for her. And it's surprising how secrets can change over time and at one point be this burden in our lives. But if we find a way to reconcile with them, they can hold such potential. They can really create gifts and grow into the most meaningful parts of who we are.
Have you been approached by social science researchers about the content of these postcards? Anybody who wants to do sort of a survey of everything you've received?
Yeah, I have been contacted by folks that do want to do that. It's kind of difficult. It's a challenge. There's just so many, and it's paper. It's not digital. With the PostSecret app, there was a way to search keywords for certain secrets, so that made that a little bit easier. But maybe years from now, all these postcards will be Google keyword searchable. Who knows?
There was an app, and now there's not an app.
It lasted for 3 months. It was really successful when it came out. It was the top-selling app in the world the week it came out. But after some wonderful stories and secrets and connections, there were also a small number of people who were griefers and were bullying and not following the community rules. So instead of trying to keep it going, I felt it was best just to kill it because it had no longer become a safe place to share. But in the power of this app, there were these just wonderful stories that came through and secrets from the app that I'll be sharing at the performance tonight.
Do you have any idea what it's sort of easy to understand what motivates people to maybe reach out in an anonymous way and share a secret? It's easy to understand what would cause someone else who relates to that to want to reach back out to that person and say, you're not alone. What do you think motivates the people who want to be mean to someone they've never met, never had any connection with?
That's a really powerful question. I don't know what the answer to that would be, but I think if you see a secret that touches you in a personal way, you're not apt to have that kind of reaction. But yeah, I don't know. I get emails like that myself. When I post the secrets every Sunday, I'll get negative responses. And when I'm sharing the secrets, people are treating me like I endorse all these secrets, which is not my position at all. I'm about shining light on these hidden parts of our lives. And even the darker ones, if you share them, sometimes that's helpful for somebody who gains that information.
Have you learned not to take it personally when people are just cruel?
Yeah. You have to have thick skin when your website has 700 million hits.
So what? That's a great quote. So you hear from people via email. How often do people say, I don't want to send a postcard, but I'm sending you the secret? Like, is that pretty common?
Not too common, because I really emphasize the postcard. And I don't accept email secrets. Like, there's no channel for that. But the postcards are really special, and it works for me, and I think it works for the community as well.
How long does it take each week to go through and decide what you're going to digitize and put on the site?
It's a painstaking process. I'm setting secrets aside every day, and then on Saturday I go down and arrange them and select and edit and try and get them to fit together like pieces of a puzzle. And I'm trying to find secrets that touch on every human emotion, so you have this real journey as you're reading them. But yeah, I've got two here. I can show you kind of the contrasting power that they can have if you juxtapose them. This is a secret that has a picture of an elevator on the front. And the secret says, I feel guilty when I take elevators for one floor, so I limp when I get out. And this one, you know, I've been asked sometimes, what's the saddest secret you've ever read? And it's difficult to pick one out of a million. And it's probably different for every person. But for me, the saddest secrets are the ones that come from young people describing a burden that no young person should ever have to carry alone. And this definitely fits into that category for me. On the face of the postcard are two pictures, one of a girl's arm and another picture of a prosthetic limb. The secret says, I smile sweetly and pretend to sympathize with my friends who are always fighting with their mothers. I would give my left arm just to have my mother alive to fight with. And so my hope is that when a secret like that is shared, it lifts a burden from that young person who might be carrying that. But it also speaks to other young people out there who have no way to feel a connection to something that's really painful in their life, that's a struggle, that's a burden, that they might not think of a secret, but is really bringing them down because they feel like it's making them alone, or it's a humiliation that they can't express. And sometimes just knowing you're not alone with whatever that struggle is can somehow give you the strength to face it yourself and then share it with somebody else and not just release it, but overcome it.
You are in the perfect position, if you chose to do so, to sort of let a little bit of your own secret life out into the world on a regular basis. You could slide your own secrets in. Have you considered that?
I have one of my secrets in every book, actually. The second post-secret book is called My Secret, and it's the book I wish I had had in high school and college when I felt alone, when I had secrets and felt without direction. And the secret that I have in that book was made out of a Catcher in the Rye book cover. And the secret says, if you feel like you're going insane and you're trapped in a dysfunctional environment, you're not crazy. And that's exactly the secret that I wish I had known when I was in high school and I felt like I was. But I have secrets all the time, just like anybody else. I shared one of my secrets today with some people from Bass Hall, and that is that I can't remember a time I've had a worse haircut than this one right now. I got a couple of days ago. So now you know one of my secrets too, Chris.
I think your hair looks fine, but it's funny that you say that because it's like one of those things that, you know, a bad haircut matters to you and to nobody else, you know? And yet it still feels like something that sort of travels with you everywhere, and that's such a minor thing, and yet a lot of people have bigger things than that.
What a powerful connection you just put between secrets and a haircut. And it totally applies to me. When I was in elementary school, I had what I considered such a bad haircut. I left school in the middle of class and came back home. Looking back on that now, it's ridiculous. That's absurd. But I think that's a reflection, too, of some of the secrets that we carry and how we think they're so much bigger than they actually are. But sometimes, you know, sharing them with the right people develops this relationship that goes beyond what the secret is and also can open up a gate so that other person can tell you something that's burdening them.
Have you seen almost every one of your personal secrets expressed by someone else by this point?
Oh, another insightful question. I'm going to talk about that tonight. I saw multiple postcards from people talking about broken bedroom doors that they had in their home where their mother or father had tried to get after them and they closed the door and the parent came through. I had an experience where I saw a picture of a door like that, and it reminded me that when I was a boy, I had two of those doors myself. And when I recognized this secret I had been keeping from myself, I talked to my wife about it. I wrote my own post-secret postcard and mailed it to myself and had this sense of relief through that process. It feels a little bit easier sharing it with you right now, too. But it also reminded me that sometimes when we keep a secret, that secret's actually keeping us. And in some ways, there are two kinds of secrets. There are the ones that we hide from others and the ones that we keep from ourselves. And if we can find ways to uncover, to unbury some of those secrets from our past, I think it allows us to be closer to who we really are and find that work that we're supposed to be doing.
What's the relationship between revealing a secret and arriving at forgiveness for either yourself or another person?
I think a question like that is beyond my pay grade. But I would say in my own thinking that sharing a secret is a wonderful first step in so many directions, not just in building a relationship, but in understanding who you are at a deeper level. But to go along with that, I think there's another idea, which is no matter how deep you dig to reveal your own secrets, if you find a little more courage, you can find another secret hiding underneath that.
And then send it to you on a 4x6 postcard.
That's it.
Frank Warren is founder of PostSecret.com. His most recent book is The World of PostSecret. You can see him live tonight at 7:30 at Bass Hall in Fort Worth. The event is called PostSecret Live. Frank, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for spending this time with us.
My pleasure.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered today by Alan Roberts. Lindsay Connect is associate producer. Jeff Whittington is executive producer. I'm on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. The show's email is think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.